Saint Francis seems to be a fitting meditation for this season. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. As we continue our worship service, may we read together responsibly selection 16, Jesus Our Friend. You will notice this is taken from the Gospel according to Luke and John. Then drew near unto Jesus all the publicans and sinners to hear him. And Jesus answering said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And to him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. May we pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, at this season, we approach Thee with hearts filled with gratitude. We thank Thee for Jesus and His having spoken to mankind, for His having given us an example of the outpouring of life, of the role of a true servant, a one that could find real life in the extension of his life. We're so thankful for the Church of the Living God, for those that have given themselves to it, for those that have found thee through the Church during these years, through this time. We are thankful for the genius of Southern Baptists, for the potential that is theirs, for the energy that has resulted in the founding of this seminary, for the leadership that it has had. We pray this day for the trustees, the president, the faculty members, and each student here, and may each minute that is ours to be spent in this fashion be productive as possible. But as we come into thy presence this day, our hearts are filled with anxieties as we realize that a conflict of major intensity is raging in Vietnam. We pray that understandings may develop, and that this conflict can be brought to an end very soon. As we realize the depth of the misunderstandings in the Near East, we realize yes, that it is going to be difficult, but that it is not hopeless. To expect that understandings can't result, and that in time we can have peace and harmony among peoples living in that land. But as we realize that there is so much by way of misunderstanding in this great nation of ours, we would pray that the differences between men here in our nation from the economic, the social standpoints might not be as great. Grant that on our part there might be righteous indignation as we view prejudice, as we experience misunderstandings, as we see children who are hungry and underprivileged that ought not to be. And grant that we may have the courage to speak out as Jesus would speak, were he able to walk the land. And grant that we may provide a light for these times in our local communities, that we shine also to the broader communities. Be with us as we move into and experience another Easter season, and help us to be drawn closer to thee, and to experience thee in a more vivid fashion, and to realize more than ever before that our lives are eternal in nature. These things we ask in thy name, for Christ's sake. Amen.
More than kingly.
Jesus had observed the Last Supper in the upper room with his disciples, he talked with them for a period of time in an effort to prepare them for the events of the coming hours. After a time, they left the upper room and started walking in the darkness of the night toward the Garden of Gethsemane. After a time, Jesus stopped and began to talk to his disciples again and said to them, "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you." It must have warmed the hearts of the disciples to hear Jesus speak to them in this fashion, and they must have remembered this experience for many days to come. It seems to me that at the close of the chapel services of this week, it might be of benefit to us if we would stop and think about this passage and the meaning of our friends and friendship in general. If we were to list synonyms for the word friend, we probably would list such words as companions, comrade, and ally. If we should turn to Webster's dictionary, we would find a definition such as this: a friend is one who is attached to another by esteem, respect, and affection. The Old Testament seems to set forth the thought that a friend is one in whose companionship we delight. We are well aware that not all day-by-day associations and companionships qualify as friendships. The motivations back of such so-called friendships are the determining factors. A certain person, to show you something of what I mean, is held in high regard and is socially prominent in the community. Perhaps I can become socially prominent if I can form a friendship with this person. Jim is a good businessman. If I can become his friend, perhaps I can make good business connections also. This fellow is a good student. In view of my present situation and the approaching exams, I better make an effort to form a friendship. Certainly we realize that our friendships have great meaning to us because they are honestly motivated. And is it not your observation that the desire for and need for companionship is the beginning of real friendships? We learn in the book of Genesis that because Adam was lonely, Eve was created. And we realize that man has not liked for conversation since that time. The Bible provides us with accounts of inspiring friendships, that of David and Jonathan, Elijah and Elisha, Paul and Timothy. How wonderful it was for these individuals to be together. We have noticed in recent years that our presidents have formed friendships with individuals that seemingly had been most rewarding to them. Theodore Roosevelt and Governor Pinchot, Franklin Roosevelt and Harry Hopkins, President Eisenhower and Mr. Nixon, Mr. Johnson and Bill Moyer. And this is as it should be. But now, have you not also noticed that friendships wane if we do not continue our day-by-day companionships? We also recognize that our friends have great meaning to us because they understand us. Someone has made the statement Let our friends or persons that know us and still like us. Each of us has our peculiarities. Our friends recognize and respect them. I always feel a bit more comfortable when I have come to know my colleagues' secret sins. Are not friendships always deepened when you come to see your friend's handicaps, when you perceive his concerns, when his misfortunes, his sufferings become yours, when you see your soul mirrored in his soul? Each of you has had that rich experience of having friends rally around as sickness, misfortune, and perhaps even death comes. I don't think I have ever seen a person from whom I could not learn something, but I place special value on friends with whom I continuously have learning experience. When I was a youngster, Edison, Ford, and Firestone were living, and they had winter homes in a town located a short distance south of our town. We were quite conscious of their friendships, and it always seemed to me that a very fine understanding developed between Mr. Ford and Mr. Edison, and that it was a situation where two men with keen, curious, inquiring minds, a situation where they understood each other and delighted in each other's friendships. Certainly, it has been your observation that common interests, somewhat universally, characterize friendships. And have you not also noticed that hypocrisy develops only as man relates to another man? And that hypocrisy noticeably is absent in real friendships. I think a deep sense of pride and well-being developed as Jesus called the disciples friends that evening. Perhaps I can convey something to you of what I feel about this situation by relating an incident that happened in my life as I was a youngster. My father dearly loves outdoor sports and especially fishing. Living in Florida, he has had an opportunity to fish a great deal. During the summers, I would help prepare for these fishing trips. I would see that the oars were in the boat, that there was ample gasoline for the outboard motors, that the trailer tires on which the boat would be pulled would be properly inflated, that the rods and reels and fishing equipment would be in the boat. I rarely asked my father who his companion would be for any particular fishing trip. One Wednesday at noon, he came home from his office, and after a hurried lunch, he came out and surveyed the situation, and seeing that everything was in order, he turned to me and said, "Let's go." I was slow in comprehending the situation, but then I eagerly entered the car, and we were off on the fishing trip. Naturally, I never could forget that situation. My father was saying to me that afternoon, "You now have reached the stage in life where you can hold your own on a fishing trip such as this, and I do enjoy your companionship." And we had many fine fishing trips after that. But was not this something of what Jesus was saying to the disciples? For a long time, Jesus had to direct them quite specifically because they could not understand God's directives. They could not see causes and effects. Truly, theirs was a master-servant relationship. But now he was saying simply to them, "You're no longer servants. Now we're friends." They had gone forth at his direction by twos, and as they had related God to men, they had had experiences that stirred their very souls. They now were at the point where they could act as Christ did, minister as he did, to God and men. They had not begun to reach their potential, but Jesus saw them for what they were and felt that he could now call them friends. This friendship must have deepened with each day that passed, and they soon perceived that this friendship was eternal in nature. I have read that David Livingstone, as he had returned from the period of time in Africa, was being honored at a reception in England. And at the reception, a lady came to him and said, "Oh, Dr. Livingstone, you must have been terribly lonely while you were in Africa." And he said, "No, my dear lady. When God called me to go to Africa, he promised to be with me. And he was with me every step of the way." You realize that when one is carrying on the work of the Master, he finds that he has a very personal companion. Jesus had been a shepherd to the disciples, as he had been to so many others. He had gone where there was sickness of mind and body, where there was nothing but poverty, failure, and hopelessness. In spite of the many failures of the disciples and their lack of understanding, he had contended with them, always seeming to understand them. A good parent is one that helps his children adopt challenging goals and then shares with them the thrills they experience as they achieve these goals. Life seems to go better for those that have visions. Did not Jesus cry to them as they were moving through Samaria, "Oh, look, the fields are white unto the harvest"? He said to Peter one day, "Oh, Simon, you must reach the point where you can forgive 70 times 7. He said to Simon, as it is recorded there in John, "Do you love me? Then feed my sheep." They saw in Jesus the ultimate in kindness and love and forgiveness, the ultimate in personality. I used to enjoy, while I was at the university, seeing or sitting in on the rehearsals of the orchestra. A movement would be progressing, as far as I was concerned, in a thrilling fashion. And the professor would stop the musicians and make a suggestion here and one there. And at times he would stop them again and again. But finally, as the movement was permitted to continue, you understood then what the professor wanted. So it was with the disciples. The Master constantly was reaching out, touching them here, challenging them now. And one night he felt that he could say to them, "Now you are my friends." As we approach this Easter season, I hope that each one of us can form a much more personal relationship with Jesus, and that as we progress through it, we truly can say, "Ah, what a friend I have in Jesus." May we pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the blessedness of our salvation, our life in Christ, and the hope that is ours to life eternal.